it would be the German Social Democratic Party that would go on to be the real model for successful social democratic organization in Europe. A Social Democratic Party founded in Russia in 1883 found itself under relentless pressure from the Tsarist regime, most of its major leaders forced into exile, many settling in Switzerland, such as Lenin, after imprisonment in Russia. The relationship, as I said, between political the socialist parties and the labor unions were always difficult, always problematic, in part because the labor unions tended to emphasize pragmatic reform and were less interested in ideology or partisan politics. They tended to be willing to work within the capitalist system, whereas the political parties, at any at least on a theoretical level, were talking about Marxist revolution by the 1890s. There are three major variants of socialism that would emerge in the last quarter of the 19th century. There were the parties that were orthodox Marxists, that is, accepted Marx's interpretation of dialectical materialism, the inevitability, the contradictions of capitalism, leading to an inevitable revolution, which would result in the triumph of the proletariat. These ideas were propounded through what was called the First International, with Marx as a major figure, between 1864 and the early 1870s. A second Socialist International, founded in 1889, would be in existence down to the outbreak of the First World War, intended to take an orthodox Marxist view of matters, preparing for the inevitable revolution and so on, just as Marx had laid out. The Social Democrats in Germany, Social Democrats in Russia tended to fit this bill. There was also, to the left of Orthodox Marxism, an anarchist movement that was also associated with socialism. We've already talked about Bakunin, the Russian revolutionary who had been on the barricades in Saxony in 1848 in Germany. Bakunin would become one of the foremost exponents of a radical socialist notion that, in fact, became known as anarchism, in which he argued that the only way to save society, the only way to reform it, was to destroy it, to destroy the state, destroy the society as it existed at the time, and then to begin afresh. He was thrown out of the First International by Marx in 1872, and anarchism condemned. Anarchists would be one of the great banes of civilized society in Europe in the 1890s and in the decade plus down to the outbreak of the First World War. It was the great age of the bomb-throwing terrorist, the bomb-throwing anarchists, attempted assassinations on major figures, state figures, business figures in the period. But it wouldn't be anarchism that would pose the greatest threat within the socialist camp to orthodox Marxist socialism, but rather a development within socialism that began to emerge in the late 1890s, and this was evolutionary socialism, revisionist socialism. It's associated primarily with Edward Bernstein, the German social democrat, who in 1899 would publish his views of evolutionary socialism in a work called The Presuppositions of Socialism. What Bernstein would argue, and we'll come back and talk about this in the context of European political life on the eve of the First World War, Bernstein argued that Marx's basic critique of capitalism had been correct, that his understanding of the contradictions of capitalism had been correct, but the capitalism had shown itself to be far more flexible than Marx believed that it would be, that it had shown itself far more adaptable than Marx had thought it would be. And had Marx lived longer, Bernstein suggested, he would have seen this as well. That therefore it would be that radical revolution might not be a necessity. It may very well be, Bernstein suggested, that capitalism would collapse, but that the role of the socialist parties, the role of the proletariat, would be to strive for universal manhood suffrage, to seize the state from within without the destruction caused by radical revolution. That over the long haul, the triumph of socialism was, as the great Marx had predicted, inevitable, but it need not come from radical, violent revolution. This was the stage then of socialism at the turn of the century, the socialism which had become by 1900 the great fear of both liberals and conservatives in Europe. The conflict between socialism and the liberals and their former enemies, conservatives, would become the central theme of European domestic politics in the years down to the outbreak of the First World War.